Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay on this beautiful, warm and sunny day. Thank you ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday the 8th of April. We've got lots to get through today, including an eyewitness account of the death of a skydiver in Headcorn.
A load of people jumped out with their parachutes on, but me and my cousin Tom watched as one of the parachuters very quickly made their way down without any parachute behind them.
We've been told the loss of a community garden in Canterbury will be a huge blow.
All the effort, all the stuff, they're just going to take it away.
And you can listen in to a heated exchange of opinions from local politicians in Medway over the School Street scheme.
The real reason School Street was brought in, which was raise money, because the Medway Labour Group had actually, you know, popped the budget. They needed as much revenue as they could, they can get,
false.
In order to...
Well, 100% false. Factually incorrect. Okay.
All of that still to come, so do stay listening. But first, a number of blazes have broken out across the county, so let's take a look at them all now in some more detail. First of all, four people have been treated for the effects of breathing in smoke after two houses caught alight near Dartford. Seven fire engines and a height vehicle were used to tackle the flames at Reed Court in Greenhithe yesterday afternoon. I've been speaking to local councillor Carol Gale, who also lives in the area. She was on the scene yesterday and this morning. She's been able to give us this update.
I have been there this morning. The two houses are gutted. There's a police car there, which is great. There is a fear, and one of the firemen did mention it, that because there was no support there for the outer walls could actually just fall out into the road. So the two houses don't have anything inside them at all. There's no floors, there's no timbers, there's absolutely nothing. So I had a look this morning, and there's a police car there this morning. I have spoken to one of the residents, the one whose daughter has a week old child this morning, and they didn't sleep. And she's not sleeping. I think her son got about 2 hours sleep and then he's gone off to work. They are being housed by Hyde Housing in a local hotel, and I believe they've been given a corporate credit card to go and buy things. They have nothing. The lady that I spoke to, I won't mention her name, she is trying to cancel her utility bills at the moment. But she's still in her clothes, smoke-infested clothes, and that's all she has. That's all the family have. They don't have anything at all. So as I said to you this morning, when we were setting up the interview, I've been off to St Mary's Church in Greenhithe, where we have the charity MCK. And I did get permission from the resident. I spoke to her about MCK and said to me, would you like some help from the charity? They can do lots of things. You don't have to go through me. I'll just put you in direct contact with them and you can discuss with them what your current needs are for yourself and all the adults and the baby. And so I shot out and had that meeting quickly, and I put them together. So they, wonderful charity. They helped so much in the community. They've done so much work with me, with residents that have had other needs, that have had mental health needs and different times of support. But yeah, they immediately said, yes, absolutely, we'll help with whatever we can. So that's one good thing that's happened. And then I met our MP, Jim Dixon, there as well. So Jim has obviously said that, he's passed his details on to the family and via MCK. And he said that he'll try and help whichever way they can, so they can contact him for other help. So we are all pulling together. It's a good community. We have a great community spirit. I'm hoping that we can get a GoFundMe page sorted out as well to just help the families with whatever they need. That the properties are not habitable. There's nothing there at all. So one doesn't know how long this is going to take and where our residents are going to be, you know, housed from here on in. But, you know, all we can do is just be kind and help them through their trauma, because they are traumatised.
As you said as well, I mean, the buildings aren't habitable. They will be housed somewhere else, but it's the material things inside. That's a whole person's life of collecting and caring for things, and that's just gone in an instant.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, they were all preparing for a new baby. So there was thousands of pounds of kit in there that was bought by relatives, by them, that was all in the house for this newborn baby. And they were obviously so excited about it. And you know, there's lots of love and goodwill and everything that comes with having a new baby and a family. And that's all gone. Absolutely gone. All their hopes, everything, every item they went out and thought, oh, that would be nice. And we need this for the baby. It's bought with care and love. They've just watched it go up in flames. And that must be really devastating, absolutely devastating.
Kent Police say the cause of the fire is still under investigation. A spokesperson from Hyde Housing gave us this statement.
We're continuing to support our customers who've been affected by the fire at Reed Court on Tuesday afternoon. We understand how frightening this was and want to thank the fire service for their response. Our teams attended quickly and supported those customers who couldn't return to their homes to find alternative accommodation. Last night, we provided essential items, including toiletries and clothes, and we're providing vouchers to help customers buy other items they need today. We'll continue to provide them with the support they need at this difficult time. We're working closely with the fire service to access the damaged homes once it's safe to do so. Our surveyors will then make assessments alongside structural engineers and the local authority's building control team.
Elsewhere, video at Kent Online shows a huge fire that's broken out at a waste site in Ashford. Crews were called to Brunswick Road on the Cobbswood Industrial Estate yesterday evening. They spent the night tackling the flames, and at the time of recording today's podcast, they're still urging people in the area to keep doors and windows closed because of smoke. Meanwhile, firefighters have been tackling a blaze at a recycling centre on the Medway City Estate. Pictures at Kent Online show smoke billowing into the sky at around 6 this morning. It's understood crews now have the flames under control. Now, this all comes as we're being urged to take extra care in the hot weather today, as Kent could be hotter than Portugal and Marrakesh. Yesterday was confirmed as the warmest day of the year so far, and temperatures are now due to climb even higher today.
Kent Online News.
A Kent police officer who made degrading comments about a domestic abuse victim and showed colleagues intimate photos has been sacked. PC Ben Bailey-Cook, who worked in the Dartford area, was also accused of making inappropriate remarks about colleagues' bodies. He's been found guilty of gross misconduct following a hearing and was dismissed without notice. A woman who started a fire in a car park under flats in Chatham has been jailed. Michelle Sutcliffe set alight to piles of rubbish beneath Carton House on New Road last December. The 40-year-old from Leicester Road in the town admitted an arson charge and has been locked up for 2 years. Now, the Kent Online podcast has been hearing from an eyewitness who saw a person fall from a plane over an aerodrome in Kent. Emergency crews were called to Headcorn on Monday morning. Rowan Shardlow from Ashford was there waiting to do a skydive.
For my 21st birthday, I wanted to do a skydive, and I had bought a ticket and had booked myself up the ability to go and do a skydive at Headcorn. I booked it for the 6th of April just so all my family and everyone could be there with me. And when we arrived at 9 o'clock, we were expecting to jump, I don't know, yeah, any time after that, because that's what we were told. But by about 9:15, a flight went overhead, and a load of people jumped out with their parachutes on. But me and my cousin Tom watched as one of the parachuters, like, very quickly made their way down without any parachute behind them. I initially thought it was one of those extreme jumpers where they pull the parachute really late, but he literally just came straight down into the field opposite us, and it was probably about 250 meters away, and you could hear as he hit the ground. We didn't know what it was. We no one really seemed to be alarmed by, like, no one from Headcorn seemed to be alarmed at what was happening. It took about another 25 to 30 minutes until it seemed to be a bit of an alarm, because we saw a load of people driving about in the orange, like, emergency vehicle that they had. And then by about 9:45, there was a load of people making their way into the field, which was really, obviously, that we saw from far away. and then stand around where it seemed that the person, well, what we thought was just something that fell out the plane, but apparently was a person, had landed in the field.
So when did you become aware then that that was a person who'd fallen? Was that quite a long time after you'd left Headcorn?
Well, initially, me and my cousin sort of agreed that it like, what else could it be other than a person falling out the plane? But they called it a major incident, so we sort of had to disagree and go, okay, it might have just been something that fell out the plane. But it was only this morning when the news article came out on KM that it was a person.
Obviously, there are a lot of people there who'd booked skydives like yourself, and a lot of people doing this for charity as well, that they all got cancelled. But we know these skydives happen really regularly, particularly in the good weather. I mean, what are your thoughts now about still doing the skydive?
Well, I know it. Well, doing a skydive is a risk, and I know that each one has to be particularly looked after and made sure that all the equipment is ready and that all of it is safe. I personally still want to do a skydive. That there is a lot of risk, and obviously that risk was it was just poor luck from the individual, but I don't think my family want me to do a skydive after what they've heard and witnessed from what happened.
It's now been confirmed a parachutist who was a man in his 50s died, and an investigation is underway.
Kent Online News.
Six men involved in a violent raid on a home in Coxheath, which left several people seriously injured, have been locked up for a total of more than 67 years. The masked men forced their way inside the property with a machete-type knife and a crowbar in December 2024. A fight broke out and they fled with around 3 kilos of cannabis. Another man and a woman, also allegedly involved, will go on trial in August 2028. Police have told us no one's been arrested after damage was caused to a closed sports centre in Foyston. A video posted on TikTok shows a group getting into the building before throwing a chair into the pool and using old exercise equipment. The facility has been shut since July 2024. It's due to reopen in the coming months. Neighbours in part of Canterbury have been left in tears after being told to get rid of a community garden they've set up. Hundreds of pots are being used to grow flowers, fruit trees and vegetables on communal land at Manock House, but the City Council say their tenancy agreement doesn't allow it. Vicky Montague has been speaking to reporter James Pallant.
We started this in 2021 during COVID lockdown when we couldn't go out, brought the children out here, made some bird feeders out of lollipops and all different things, and then we decided that we were going to start building more, bringing more plants and things in.
So last year you asked the council if you could use this plot of grass to grow fruit and vegetables, and yeah. What did they say?
They said that we couldn't put anything in the ground here, instead we were to use containers, and they actually offered to outsource some containers for us. I didn't take them up on the pots being offered, because as you can see, I've purchased my own things. We've entered the council garden competition as advertised on their newsletter, and it gives an option for communal garden or small spaces. So small spaces was with pots and baskets and things, so we've entered that part of it. And yesterday I came downstairs to the Section 41 notice plastered over things. They've gone back on their word of letting us use the grass with pots and now want everything to be taken away. It's not practical.
And what benefits have you seen this garden has brought to your own life and to your community here?
So many benefits. We now have garden barbecues. Before now, the children have never played in the garden. Now they play in the garden. For me personally, it's massive. It helps mentally with my mental health, physically with my string of complex conditions I have. It's a really big part. We come out here in the winter, in the day, in the night, I don't care. I'm out here taking care of it, looking after it. All the other people in the block, they all get involved and help.
How did you react when you got the letter from the council telling you to get rid of it all?
I cried a lot. I called the councillors. I cried on the phone to them. I phoned my friends. It's heartbreaking. All the money, all the effort, all the stuff, and they're just going to take it away and bin it.
This garden means a lot to you, doesn't it?
Yes.
In a statement, Canterbury City Council say they want to work with the residents to agree a way forward.
Kent Online News.
Animal welfare experts say a virulent disease is wiping out wild rabbits in some parts of rural Kent. A new strain of the deadly RHD2 is spreading through direct contact and considered to be 90% fatal. It can linger on surfaces and clothes, with a warning: pet rabbits are at risk unless they're vaccinated. Now, a row's broken out between two politicians in Medway about the school street scheme. Since 2024, vehicles have been banned from driving down certain roads at drop-off and pick-up times. Bosses say it's improved safety, despite having no previous data to compare it to. Local Democracy reporter Robert Boddy has spoken to Medway Cabinet member Alex Patterson and Conservative councillor Andrew Lawrence on a recent episode of the Kent Politics podcast.
My point is about the imposition of the scheme to start with. There was no factual evidence around pollution or incidents involving children during school time that justified the imposition of those schemes to start with. So the thing about this is, it's, call it the laws of unintended consequences, or actually the real reason School Street was brought in, which was raise money, because the Medway Labour Group had actually, you know, popped the budget. They needed as much revenue as they could, they can get,
false.
In order to...
Well, 100% false, factually incorrect.
OK, so there's been no, there's been no improvement in child in Mid, road no. safety, there's been no improvement in air quality.
I think, Rob, it really is, this does get to the heart of the issue, though, because Councillor Lawrence, in the absence of critical faculties, relies on data. His decisions are based around data. But when you talk about prior data to justify the introduction of a school street, what Councillor Lawrence is actually saying, not in not so many words, is he wants to see child casualties. He wants to see child deaths before we justify this. Well, that's the logical conclusion. No. That is the logical conclusion of demanding statistical evidence of that nature, accident data, to justify the introduction. Yeah. I don't want there to be any accidents. And actually, residents contact me frustrated at the lack of introduction of safety measures on streets where the accident data doesn't justify it. We have the opportunity to get ahead of the problem here, and that's what we've done.
Unfortunately, you can see Councillor Patterson's background from a red top newspaper where it's all, you know, just innuendo and innuendo.
The fact is, a newspaper that was on the side of the people, in favour of the many, not the few.
Good public policy is based on data, not the feelings of a few
people. So how many casualties would you like, Councillor Lawrence, then? How many broken limbs, how many deaths?
Councillor Lawrence to make his point.
Honestly. The fact is, there were two incidents outside those seven schools in the year previous. So we have fined, how many people did you fine? Have you fined 7,000 people? You've raised £1.5 million in fines. Don't tell me this is not a revenue-raising scheme, Councillor Patterson.
Those people have contravened the rules. They've brought it. It's entirely optional. I know that it's really on brand for you to stand up for selfish drivers who are putting children at risk. That's really on brand for you. I'm going to stand up for the overwhelming majority of people who already do the right thing, always did the right thing. And you know, I'm speaking not as someone who's treating this as a hypothetical. For over a decade, I walked my two children to and from school. I endured all of the issues which have been highlighted in this report and by the monitoring report and by the, you know, studies up and down the country about the impact of vehicles on people making those journeys. We did not feel safe. The school that we used to walk to now has a school street, and it's transformational.
You can hear that interview in full on the politics page of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A riverside building in Medway that's been browned to the town's worst eyesore could be converted into luxury flats. The Spembley Works in Chatham was initially converted in 2000 but has been empty for the last 8 years following a prohibition order. An investor now plans to demolish it to make way for 75 new homes. There are plans to build a block of flats on the site of a former nightclub in Dover. The venue in Adrian Street was known as the New Age Beach before being rebranded Studio One and later Club Karma. It closed in 2014. Now a six-story building of 29 flats has been approved, subject to conditions like a full archaeological plan and an unexploded ordnance risk assessment. And a coffee chain has announced plans to open 14 new branches in Kent. Black Sheep already has sites in Tunbridge Wells and Bluewater. Bosses say they're looking to expand into high streets and retail parks across the county.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham's Sam Gale has been nominated for the League Two Young Player of the Season Award. He's featured in 40 games across all competitions and scored one goal in their 1-0 win over Crewe Alexandra in August. He's been speaking to the club's media team.
Yeah, I'm really happy. Obviously, as a footballer, you're not in it for individual accolades. What the team does is much more important, but I'm pleased that performances I've put in this season have been recognised, and yeah, I'm just proud to be nominated and looking forward to it.
When did you find out and who was the first person you told?
I probably rung my missus and told my mum and dad. I still live at home, so yeah, they were quite pleased.
And how much does it mean to be nominated at a club? You've been here for a number of years. Does it mean more in that sense?
Yeah, definitely. Had to definitely work hard to get to this point. A lot of years in the academy, a lot of years kind of getting from under 18s to first team football. So yeah, it's a really proud achievement to be nominated, especially for the club I've come through.
The 21-year-old came through the club's academy programme and recently signed a new contract, which will keep him at Priestfield until the summer of 2028. Staying with football, and Gillingham's owners has sent a message to fans as season tickets for their next campaign go on sale. Brad and Shannon Gallanson are promising large-scale, substantive change this summer. They've admitted it's been an incredibly difficult season, but have thanked supporters for their loyalty and passion. The Gills are currently 17th in League Two with 5 games left to play. And Chatham Town women will be hoping to win some silverware tonight. They're taking on Bowers and Pitsy over at Essex in the Isthmian League Women's Cup. Chatham won the competition last season with a 5-0 victory over Billericay Town. Kickoff is at 7:45. And that's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.